May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Our text comes from the gospel reading. When it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, this is a familiar account to all of us. It is the only miracle recorded in all 4 Gospels. It's one of Jesus' food miracles that includes the feeding of the 4,000 and the turning of the water into wine at the wedding in Cana. Here we see that the crowds have been pressing in on Jesus all day, even though he had gone away for some time to be by himself, to contemplate the death of John the Baptist, yet they kept coming. And Jesus had compassion on them. And he abided with them. He healed their sick. And at the end of the day, the disciples present a very reasonable request to Jesus. They're out in the wilderness. There is no food there. Send them away. Let them go into the towns and villages so that even though the day is drawing to a close, they can find something to eat. Jesus, send them away from your presence. That would be better for them. They can take care of their needs there. Then comes Jesus' stunning reply. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. You can almost feel the disciples squirm as they reply to Jesus with yet another very reasonable statement. "We have only 5 loaves here, 2 fish. Jesus, there is not enough food here to feed all of these people. We cannot fulfill your command, you give them something to eat. We simply don't have the means." I guess they forgot who Jesus was. So Jesus orders them to bring him the food, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he gives it back to the disciples. And then they do exactly what he had told them to do. They give the crowd something to eat. They do the work, but only by the mercy and the power of Jesus. That was the only way it worked. Jesus gave the command, and he gave the means by which they could keep that command in spite of their doubts. Now, it should be no surprise to us that Jesus performed this miracle. As we heard recounted in our intro this morning, the Lord provided manna and quail and water for the children of Israel as they had left Egypt in the book of Exodus and traveled throughout the desert for 40 years before they entered the promised land. Or we know the account of the prophet Elijah blessing the flour and the oil of the widow at Zarephath, and that little bit that she had remaining fed her and her son and Elijah for many days. And Jesus is the same God who did those things. And he continues to provide. The church has always been involved and continues to be involved with such physical feeding. Every month we send money to the food bank here in Newark to take care of the physical needs of people in our area. But not only the church does this work, the Lord provides for all people through the kingdom of the left, through this world. It is the Lord who gives us farmers and ranchers and suppliers and transportation workers and grocery store workers and an economy and the means by which we may take care of ourselves and our families and those in need. The Lord does this. As the psalmist writes, "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." But we tend to be anxious about such things. We see rising food costs. We see drought here and floods in other places. Some people store up rations for the difficult times they expect are coming. Some ignore the signs of trouble. Most of us fall somewhere in between, I suppose, not knowing exactly what we should do. But Jesus gently chides those who worry about their daily bread. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Though we forget, though we sometimes fail to give thanks, the Lord provides. Now we learn in John's account of the feeding of the 5,000 that after this event, the people followed Jesus around. They wanted more. They wanted more bread. They wanted more free lunch. They wanted to make Jesus their bread king right there and then so they could partake of this free food as long as possible. But Jesus withdrew from them. Though the Lord does provide all things, there was more to Jesus' purpose and mission as the incarnate Son of God than merely healing people's physical needs and providing physical bread. He came to die, to take away your sin, and to rise again from the dead, giving you new life. He came to give you himself. After all, Jesus repeats the words that he gave to Moses in Deuteronomy, "Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." And Jesus says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." It is this food that the church brings. It is this food about which Jesus commands his church, "You give them something to eat. You give them me." As we come into the presence of the Lord, in the fellowship of his saints, into the presence of Jesus, where his word is and his sacraments are administered, we, his people, are to be fed, some with milk, some with meat, but always with Jesus, the bread of life. Woe to the church, woe to the pastor, woe to the teachers that do not provide this bread but wander from God's word, depart from his sacraments. The church is to be about what Jesus commands Peter, "Feed my sheep." That food is to preach, to teach the whole counsel of God. That food is to preach Christ crucified for sinners. That food is to preach that Jesus has risen from the dead, has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and rules all things in heaven and on earth. That food is to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That food is to declare all that God would teach his people. That food consists of urging people to turn from gorging on the desires of the flesh and the desires of the world and to feast on Jesus. We know that when Jesus fed the 5,000, that the people were impressed. I mean, right? You and I are impressed. It is a grand display of Jesus' power, of his divinity, of his absolute control over nature. They were impressed, we are impressed. But this is not the food miracle about which we should be most impressed or for which we should be most thankful. For there was another time when Jesus took bread, on the night when he was betrayed. That bread was already sitting there on the table. Jesus didn't have to multiply it. There was already enough there for everyone to partake of it. But again, Jesus broke it and blessed it and gave it to his disciples. And it was no ordinary bread, for it was the body of Christ. You and I eat food all week long, but there is no meal more precious, more important to the Christian than the meat and drink which you receive from Christ's altar. The food that you eat at home gives earthly sustenance, but this food gives forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. Oh, it appears much less impressive than Jesus feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's not very big. We don't have baskets full left over. It's small in terms of its size. You'll still have to eat lunch later on. But this meal is the gospel. This meal brings the forgiveness of sins. It is our participation in the body of the crucified and risen Lord. It is the foretaste of the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Sunday in and Sunday out, you are witnesses to a food miracle in the Lord's Supper, and you have the great joy and privilege of partaking in it. It is a most holy meal. The church gives you the bread of life in word and sacraments, and in so doing carries out the mandate that Jesus gave her. You give them something to eat. God gives the command, and God gives the means by which it is carried out. God feeds you. He sustains your physical life, and he sustains your spiritual life. He gives you physical bread to eat, and he gives you the very body and blood of his son Jesus to eat and to drink. That physical food removes the fear of physical hunger, and the heavenly food removes the fear of judgment, the fear of guilt, and shame, literally the fear of death. May we be those who continue to be where Jesus is and where he carries out his own command, where we are given something to eat. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.